I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song that's been sung 100 times before. Ain't got nothing but my name, and I'm the only man I know to blame. But I'm living, I'm happy and I'm free.
I hope you are happy and free this morning as well. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. It is Rosie on the house, your Saturday morning Arizona tradition for 28 years. This is our first hour, our 7 o'clock hour, our anything goes hour. No designated topic, not usually a lot of research. We don't like it to be too scripted, not that the rest of it is, but we just like to fly with it. It brings a level of spontaneous that only live radio can bring you.
We try to keep it good news as well.
Yes. Not a lot of news coverage here. Although I will say the one thing I was talking about as it relates to the presidential race, have you noticed how few signs and stickers there are for either candidate?
You know, I think we are so divided that people are afraid to put their signs out. You know, you don't want your car keyed or your, you know, houses teepeed or whatever by just being kind of quiet, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see what
except
we see.
Except for the neighbor across the street from the office.
That's true. How big is that sign? Like
a
12?
I think it's a 4x8 sheet of
It's
plywood.
A piece of plywood, yeah.
Yeah. She doctors that little thing. She comes out and she puts it up at night and takes it back out. People come by and take pictures. And they get out of their car and take
something.
Pictures.
I've been sitting in the office, turning around like, who is here? What are they doing? And then they'll march out and take a picture and go back. And she does it every morning. She takes it out.
Her house is still standing.
Yeah.
What do we have? Only 2 more weeks of this and it'll finally be
behind
us.
Yes, we'll know.
Well, today in this hour we're covering a conference we were at this week. It was held at Grand Canyon University, and we're going to first start off and talk a little bit about the university. I had never been. I've only driven by a handful of times. That's not an area of town that my travel and my work location, you know, it's...
There wasn't a destination there for a long time, you know, and the campus has changed so much. Every time, of course, your sister Katie graduated from there last year, and every year it's just expanding and growing, and we had the president, Brian Mueller, came and gave a talk. It was a Thrive conference, it's a family business conference held on the campus, so Romy and I were able to attend together. We don't often get out of the office together, so that was kind of fun to sit together all day and take in some great information, but just we also learned about a lot about the campus and how it's grown. But my favorite part about Grand Canyon is what they have done for the community. They have a real heart for the people in the area, and they have 3 pillars. Well, they actually have 5, but I'll tell you about 3.
Okay. And as we get there, the president, Brian Mueller, he comes to Grand Canyon University leaving a 20-year successful career with another university. And at that time, they were at 100 acres?
Yes, that's right.
And it looks like on the pictures, buildings from the 60s that really hadn't been updated or touched much.
It was an unkept little place.
$20 million in debt, and in the middle of 2008. I mean, if you think about the economy, I mean, that's when the entire real estate bubble just completely popped. So he comes to this place, leaving a very successful background, and you know I guess when you hit the bottom, the only place you can go is up, right?
That's right. Well, I think that sense of adventure that men like, you know, just hey, let's do this thing, and he has done a wonderful job leading the way, don't you think?
Oh, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
So. Well, what they've done for the community. Now, this is in Maryville. If you're not familiar, usually year after year, if it's not the top murder capita in the state, it's in the top 2 or 3.
A lot of crime goes on there. It's a very unstable community.
I-10 to about Indian School between I-17 and the 101.
Yeah, it's a rough area.
We went there once in high school to wrestle Maryville High School. And we had a coach who was Mexican, Coach Garcia, and he told us all as we're getting into Maryville and getting ready to get off the bus, he's like, And we're the only white kids anywhere. And he's like, don't worry, this is my people. I got you guys. There's enough Garcias. We're okay.
By osmosis, he was going to protect you. So, yes, yeah, so they have a heart for the, you know, they felt it was somewhat of a risk putting in that area, just not sure that it could get people to come, you know, because of the area and stuff. But they wanted to come and offer something to the community. So they have done several things. They've partnered with the Phoenix Police Department, $1 million a year for the last 4 years to increase the protection of the area. So the crime rate has gone down 30%. So that's one really great thing they've done. They've also gone out into the community and helped improve the homes with a partnership with Habitat for Humanity. And it's the largest partnership that Habitat has in the entire country. And they've targeted 700 homes in the area, and the kids provide the partnership labor with Habitat. So they've gone in and done all kinds of things to these homes that improve the community. Plus, the campus is now beautiful. So all those things. They've invested in a restaurant and a hotel and an office complex and employing the people in the area.
On that Habitat, for years, all Habitat was a home builder. And that was one of the struggles they were really finding in Phoenix. There was not a lot of lots left.
Affordable lots, for sure.
Well, and or residential lots. Mm-hmm. You might be a lot next to an industrial complex. Well, you're not going to put a house and a family in that kind of zoning. So I was really glad over the last 5 years, I'm going to say, Habitat had started to get into the remodeling. And now with Grand Canyon University, they're doing 700. I don't think they've built 700 homes in that in this amount of time that they're going to remodel. And they'll probably build, we should get them on to tell, but yeah, they're not going to build a third of that. So to refurbish 700 and bring a old neighborhood up to current modern living.
And for those kids to have a wonderful place to live in. It's, so far they've done 70 homes, and the values have gone up 30%. So that's pillar number two. And pillar number three is kind of my favorite. They've partnered with Alhambra High School, and they opened what they called the Learning Lounge for the kids from the high school to come over and get free counsel, free mentoring, free computer use.
So the lounge is on GCU's mm-hmm. campus.
Yeah.
But anyone from Alhambra can come over.
That's right. And that area is really, it's 90% below the poverty level. So these kids are kind of stuck in this area. It's a lot of refugee families. And at first the kids were like, oh, I don't think we belong over there. So it took them a little while to convince them, hey, this is a good, safe place. Now they have hundreds of kids a week coming over. And the stats at Alhambra are just skyrocketing, increase in graduation, increase in scholarships. And if you have a parent that works at GCU, so any of the people in the area employed by GCU, their kids go free. So, I mean, they're just doing a great work over there. It's fun to watch.
One of the things Brian was talking about that I thought was very different and unique, when this started happening, a lot of the schools around started feeling a little threatened by, you know, are they going to pull our resources? Are they going to take away from us? So he organized a council with the principals from 16 local public schools, private schools, charter schools, any type of school there was, and they've got this board on how they can all work together because they're all relevant. They've all got their place. They've all have, what do you call them, students. And so instead of sitting here, how do we make all these work together?
Yeah, and they are increasing out of Alhambra, but that's kind of the beta tester, and they've just, the kids have just really embraced it. And St. Mary's Food Bank brings in free meals, so they get to eat, study, and they provide tutors and they hire their own Grand Canyon kids to tutor, but they don't call it tutoring anymore.
No,
that kind of turns the kids off. They call it learning advocates. They're leads. It's all marketing. We know about that.
Well, the key, I would say, the highlight speaker, or at least the most notable speaker that our listeners will recognize, was one Jerry Colangelo.
What a treat that was to listen to him. And
most everyone had something prepared speech-wise. He just sat down, and they had something called text-to-talk, where you would text in your questions and it would show up on the message board. So instead of calling from the audience, you would just pick up your phone and text questions, and they would sort through. You not every text you sent got up there, because I sent two and neither of my questions made
oh,
it up there. So
you
someone
did.
Was sitting there monitoring.
Well, even some that went up on the board didn't get answered. It's
right.
just a lot to keep track
but
of.
But it was neat. You know, everyone could participate. Mm-hmm. And he just sat there and answered questions from the audience for
probably 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And they actually have the School of Business is named after him there on campus. The Jerry Colangelo School of Business is there, and he teaches there. He's, of course, a very smart man. You know, it was just a true American success story, coming from nothing and ending up where he's at. And sports was his avenue, but he's learned a lot along the way. A lot of hard times, and he talked about the fact that those were the times for adversity is the is chance for opportunity. So it was interesting to listen to.
He was, and one of the neat characteristics that he said he likes to read about people mm-hmm. that have made a significant mark. And he was currently reading a book about Winston Churchill from his youth. Mm-hmm. That was the first question I asked. What's the book title? And that never made it up.
That would have been a good answer. He also quoted Billy Graham, you know, keeping your priorities straight from faith, family to business. And that's what they've tried to do in their family. He's been married decades. I think he's 50-some. That's a lot. I remember we clapped. It's a lot of years.
He also reads the paper daily.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's constantly monitoring news feeds and current events, something that you'd made a point over a newspaper versus watching it. On the paper, you can pick what you want to read versus...
Yeah, when you watch the news or you have like an app on your phone, it feeds you the stories. And so you don't really get to select what you read in a sense. Whereas you open the paper, you can go through and you find different editorials. And I just think it gives you a little broader perspective of the news. You know, your dad, Rosie, loves to read the paper, and he loves reading books about successful people. So,
he also said success is defined by the individual. When they asked him, I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but at what point did you consider, you know, your life a success? And he never acknowledged that point, and I don't think he has that point yet, because he says, go as hard as you can, for as long as you can, while you can.
I like
that. And
he's
still going.
I like that.
I don't think he's the type that's just going to say, you know what, I've done all this, I'm going to put my boots up now and just, you know, coast on out of here. He's still
kicking.
Still at it. Yeah. So it was very, I had never really known much about him, or, I mean, I knew the name mm-hmm. from the news and the Suns and the Diamondbacks, but what an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the highlight of the speakers for me.
A genuine man, for sure. Me too.
Event.